And so all the more, since the preacher was wise, he did by his knowledge the people advise. With open ear also he sought order well, in power the proverbs and bywords to swell. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. From the Word Green version of 2004, our daily scripture for today, little children. And in the Ark of Urartu article, we're now in chapter 3, paragraph 3. At the beginning of this paragraph, we have some pictures. A photo looking from the Ark site towards Mount Ararat and Little Ararat in the north. So, and the map here below shows that Noah's Ark is south of Mount Ararat and Little Ararat, and within sight of it, according to the picture. And the other information that's rather interesting, or maybe important too, is in the photo caption in the article here. Under the top right caption, it says, as viewed from the stern of the ark looking towards the prow. So somehow, at the time I wrote this article, I was able to ascertain the orientation of the ark as well, in the ground. So the prow of the ark is towards Mount Ararat, and some miles away also, obviously. But clearly, the mountains, which are called Mount Ararat and Little Ararat, are clearly visible. And, you know, that's really quite reasonable, it seems, doesn't it? Because many people believe that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat. That was a common misconception for a long, long time. Still is a common misconception. There are still many people today who believe that. But, of course, the Bible said the Ark landed in the mountains of Ararat, which is the mountain chain of which Mount Ararat is one peak. Now, when we contemplate how a population grows up out of 8 humans, 4 of them male, it is largely seen to depend on the females of the population and their time for birthing. The 9-month gestation period for a human baby is still, as we may imagine it was 5,000 years ago, a natural turn of events, which places some limitations on or upon baby production. Unlike the days of Adam and Eve, no brother had any of his sisters, even though the gene pool of the 8 were good. As new females grew up and reached social sexual maturity, they could marry a male cousin and begin producing babies. Before the deluge, Noah was 498 years old when Japheth was born. The book of Jasher saying that his wife Naamah was 580 years old when she married Noah and began having sons. Noah may have been 499 years old when Naamah gave birth to Japheth. Japheth bin Nu, Japheth son of Noah, her eldest. Shem was 100 years old at the birth of his son Arpachshad, 2 years after the deluge, when Noah was, say, about 602. Jasher 5:18 gives Shem as born when Noah is 502 years old. Just for reference, 5:18, and Noah was 502 years old when Naamah bare Shem. According to the book of Jasher, chapter... But it's not even clear from this which chapter we're in here. 5. Chapter 5. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's in the white non-underlined number there, 5, Jasher 5:18, which is exactly what was quoted in the text here. The book of Jubilees makes Shem the eldest and says Noah's wife's name is Emzara, the daughter of Rachael. That's from Jubilees chapter 4, verse 33. This might be why only the Bible is considered as genuine. Ham may be the middle child, as in Jubilees. It is unsure, but Genesis makes Ham the quote-unquote young son at Genesis 9:24, or 20-24, rather. Maybe we can look that up. Genesis 9:20-24. What his youngest son had done to him, talking about Ham from the context of verses 20-24, chapter 9 of Genesis. His youngest son, his younger son, according to the King James Version, so the idea of youth is certainly expressed there. It appears from all the different translations that we have offered there in the JW Library application. Well, the ones that I've selected, which are Byington, King James, American Standard Version, Rotherham, just a few like that. Now, in the we have the Kingdom Interlinear, I guess, too, right? But that's only the New Testament, apparently. Oh, we've got other things we could look at, but let's keep reading. There's always more work that we could do. In the Bible, Shem is mentioned first. Okay. Genesis 6:10 and 10:1. This being typically indicative that he's born first. Genesis 6:10. Noah became father to three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But we know Ham is said to be the youngest in some translations. So then they're not in order, are they, if that's true? Shem, Ham, and Japheth doesn't sound like they're in order either from oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest. Clearly. And this is the history of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 10 and 1. Same exact order. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Shem is not necessarily the eldest. Because this may show that Noah favored Shem. But of course, he also cursed Canaan, one of the sons of Ham. It's not necessarily the reason for, or a reason why Ham would be placed last, I suppose, but, and he isn't placed last in the list. So this trying to justify it based on which is the favored son, perhaps the favored one would be put first, no matter what the order was of the other two. That might be the justification for saying that the favored one would come first. But everyone agrees that Noah had three sons, and one was Shem. Shem is called brother to Japheth. Brother to Japheth, the oldest. So the question is, in that expression, Genesis 10:21, Shem, the forefather of all the sons of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the oldest. What does it mean, the brother of Japheth, the oldest? Does it mean Japheth is the oldest, or does it mean Shem is the oldest and he's the brother of Japheth? So there's ambiguity from the Bible there. Everyone agrees that Noah had three sons, one was Shem. With each daughter at age 40 having three daughters, the total population generated after 400 years would be near 1,062,000, etc. 1 million people. Or when each daughter has three daughters, about age 20 years. then the total population after 500 years is 15 trillion. So when we calculate this, I guess I can do it with the calculator. There's no reason why I can't show it. Unless it's wrong. And in that case, I wouldn't be able to show it. But it's 9 times 3 to the power, in brackets, 400 divided by 40. Why? Because, well, in the 400 years, every 40 years, there are 3 more daughters being born. So it's 3 to the power of 400 divided by 40. Because 3 times 3 times 3 is how many daughters will be produced. So the first 3 will produce 3 more after 40 years, etc. You know, and so it's 3 times 3 times 3, and it happens 400 divided by 40 times. The 3 is multiplied by 3. And since we start with 9 daughters, we multiply it all by 9, and the answer is, well, we multiply by 2, because why? Because there are sons born as well, and we get 1,000,000. 62,882 in addition to the 1,000,000, but then we do the other calculation. What if there were, let's just go back, 500 years, right? And every 20 years, another 3 daughters were produced instead of every 40 years. What does that calculation bring? There's quite a big difference. It brings 1.5 times 10 to the 13th power, represented here as 1.5251194 97 E13, E meaning 10 to the 13th. The E meaning 10 to the power of. Exponent is E. Exponent 13. In this case, base 10. 10 to the power of 13. So that's 10 to the power of 12 is a trillion, which is 1,000,000,000. 10 to the power of 6 is 1,000,000. And we have 1,000,000,000, it's 10 to the power of 12. 10 to the power 9 is 1,000,000,000, right? 10 to the power 12 is a trillion. So 10 to the 13 means it's not 1.5, but 15 to the power 12 times 10 to the power 12. 15 trillion, or 1.5 times 10 to the 13. So that shows how it's critically dependent on the age of the daughters when they have had their 3 daughters, if they're going to have 3 daughters, if each generation has 3 daughters. Just a number that we picked out of thin air, just to see what happens, right? So that shows us. Now, we don't really necessarily believe that the gestation period was 9 months in those days either. We don't know that, and we don't really know. I mean, it could have been longer because they lived longer. We believe, according to the Bible, certainly they did, and certainly according to the Septuagint, they lived much longer. So the gestation period could be more than 9 months, but also the time period for the birthing of children for the women could be much longer. So in their lifetime, they could have children long. If Noah lived like 950 years, and his sons lived for 400 or 500 years each, it's possible that the mothers could have, you know, at least early on. But then again, it didn't last for ever. But in the first 500 years, they might have lived longer. There could have been a slower generative cycle, so that they weren't having children quite so often. Because, and they could have had children later in life, you know. So so that this number, you know, but so they also could have had more, not more children, but it's possible that's true too, but they could have had more these numbers. 40 might have been bigger, so that they might have had their 3 daughters by the time they reached the age of 80 years old or something. We don't know what the ages were. In that case, these numbers would be greatly reduced. Like, if maybe we can do that. Let's see what happens. Right? If we have 500 years, let's try the 500-year one. What if they have 3 daughters after 80 years instead of 40 or 20? That's a big difference. Then the number of people on Earth after 500 years is 17,269 and a half. Just impossible that it could be a half. How do we get a half? A half a person. Because it's because 500 doesn't divide 80 perfectly, I guess. That's why. Yeah. But anyway, it's just an approximate calculation. So 17,000 people on Earth, that sounds more like the number of people that were present at the time of the Tower of Babel, doesn't it? Or maybe closer to that number rather than to the million number? Because, I mean, it doesn't tell us in the Bible, so we don't know. But I mean, this is a fascinating thing that much research is possible, of course. More than what we've done and more than what people are inclined to, or more than people in the past have done, more than I've done personally, but more than people might even be inclined to do. I mean, I don't know. Whoever wants to do the research can research this. But the thing is, it's just theoretical. We're just coming up with guesses. And maybe if we do, I don't doubt that more work, more guessing, wiser guesses could lead to better results and more information. Useful information could be derived that way. You know, it's possible. Let's see what's happening with Noah's Ark. And no, that's the end of the study of Noah's Ark. Sorry, I mean, for today. I mean, with the Ra Expedition Part 2. Let's see what Thor Heyerdahl's up to now in our Part 2-5, starting at 20 minutes of this Ra Expedition Part 2. If we might, let me see if I can resize this. There we go. And we have how much time? We've got some time.
Other mollusks. The pollution is obviously affecting the life of marine creatures all over the ocean. They find that modern men have succeeded in polluting the Atlantic Ocean all the way from Africa to America. Fish are scared away from modern ships, but not from quietly floating papyrus bundles. They join the Ra expedition. Normally, the mariners leave the fish in peace. Sometimes they drop a fishing line out of longing for fresh varieties as a change from dried fish or Egyptian fish roe. One day, the crew members are shocked by a shout of "Man overboard." Suryal has taken a careless step and is soon left behind in the waves. Fortunately, the trailing lifeline saves him. But for that line, he would eventually have drowned. There is no way of turning back the ship. Heyerdahl constantly has fears that the Maki will go overboard too, for she sometimes escapes from her lifeline and scuttles up the rigging, refusing to come down no matter how tempting the tidbits they offer. Thank you. Yuri goes up the mast after her, but with no success, until he gets the idea of using Safi's pet toy as a lure, an ugly, squeaking rubber frog which she won't allow anyone else to play with. Though they are sailing through the tropics, the cooling breezes go through the wickerwork walls of their bamboo cabin. Baker calculates they're averaging 60 nautical miles a day, or more than 100 kilometers. June 15th. A month has passed. Africa is far, far behind. And the crew, with singing, celebrates having reached the halfway point of the voyage.
Guantanamera, ha ho! Guajira, Guantanamera, hooray! Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Yo soy un hombre sincero. ¿De dónde crece la palma?
¡La palma!
Yo soy un hombre sincero.
¡Sincero!
¿De dónde crece la palma? Antes de morir me quiero echar mis besos del alma. ¡Guantanamera! ¡Guajira, Guantanamera!
We got used to the ocean and the cameraman sometimes ventured far away from our safe papyrus bundles. But one day the wind increased and the waves started to rise so high that I called Carlo and Georges back for fear that the real gale was approaching.
Okay. Just about the right time to end that part of our watching or study of the Raw Expedition Part 2. And we're at the 25-minute mark now, roughly, so seems like a good place to stop Part 5 of, or Part 2-5, since we're in Part 2 of this movie from 1972 concerning the expedition that began in 1969 of Thor Heyerdahl crossing the Atlantic Ocean using the trade winds from Africa to Barbados, and the first attempt of which expedition failed when their first papyrus boat began to sink, having completed a great portion of that journey across the Atlantic from Africa again toward Barbados. So I have to say, I want to talk about some things that I've been doing. I had a little accident today. I did short out my battery, shorted out the positive terminal. It never happens normally that you have to think about that, but I was using some wrenches and accidentally touched one of the wrench on the positive terminal onto the seat of the back of the seat of the lawnmower, and that was enough to create quite a spark and heat up the terminal quite a bit. So I know that there was a significant discharge. And then when I did the battery test, I thought, well, you know, the cold cranking amps, which was about 396, was lower than what it should be for that battery, was over 500 cold cranking amps. earlier this year, I don't know. So it's still a very new battery, but, and that shouldn't really harm it, but also the internal resistance went up from what it was earlier this year after it had been discharged partly, this battery. I don't know why that was. It was on the battery charger all winter. But in the spring, when it for some reason was not fully charged, there had been some internal resistance or something that built up, perhaps a little dendrite or some kind of little... A dendrite would be a short, though, wouldn't it? But it was perhaps some kind of open circuit, partial open circuit had developed. It's hard to say what causes some of the problems with these lead acid batteries, but anyway, I'm recharging it now after this short problem I had. We'll see whether, and it was 7.93 milliohms internal resistance after the short, and I didn't measure it prior, which I could have and should have done now that I look back at it, but it was, I think, 5-point-something milliohms earlier this year, and that, but the main thing was it was over 500 cold cranking amps, and it's only a 300 amp, a cold cranking amp, 300 rated, a 300 cold cranking amp rated battery. It's only supposed to produce 300, so it was over 500, well over 500, if I recall. I admit, it's written down, but now it's under 400, still way more than what we need for. But the internal resistance seems a little high, but the voltage is 13.17, though, which is actually very high. Yeah, that's true. The voltage is 13.17, so it wasn't shorted out enough to drop the voltage below some number. Like, even though I charged it right after the short, I did a little bit of charging, which would boost the battery voltage temporarily back up. But when I brought it in the house, of course, it was sitting on without being connected to a charger for long enough that, if you know, that 13.17 wouldn't be 13.17 would have just dropped down again if it was just surplus charge. When I measured it, it shouldn't have been 13.17 unless there was still a lot of charge in there. So that's, I'm not worried. I shouldn't worry about the battery too much, I guess. But I will worry about not shorting out these batteries. That's not a good thing. I'll learn from that, because I rarely ever have had an accident where I short out a battery. It's just, everything went so well today. I mowed the lawn. I guess it was the fifth time I did it this year, because there was a 1.2 hour difference between the third time and this time. The start of this time, it was 1.2 hours after the end of the third time, so there must have been a fourth time. That's how long it takes to cut the lawn, about 1.2 hours. So, and the lawnmower tells me how many hours it's logged. So it looks like I've done it five times this year, and I'm at like 89.4 hours now total, but 0.3 of those hours was spent in winterizing it by running all the fuel out of it and then running a small amount of synthetic fuel until it was run out of it also for a few minutes. So that prepared it for the winter. I took out the battery, then I had the accident when I shorted it. Now that's been done, but also today a lot of things happened. I'm really amazed. Okay, so the most amazing thing I think that happened today was I got a pair of jeans for $29, which included tax, and they fit me absolutely perfectly. And I ordered it online, a perfect fit. Maybe I can even show you these. Let's see. Got all my orders and stuff. It's the dark. I want to show you. Let's put it that way. I want to show you, but I don't want to show you everything all at once. So let's just see if I can find it here. What's that? Oh, yeah. I got four pairs of jeans today, I think. Four pairs of jeans. And they're all a price that would have been either the same as or less than the price I would have paid about 50 years ago. That's what these prices are like on Amazon. Now, actually, I'm going to tell Amazon, whoever's listening who's from Amazon, I received something today that I didn't order, some kind of oil filters, something. I don't know what to do about it, but I received these things I did not order, as well as everything I did order. It's for a Generac machine. I don't have a Generac machine. I didn't order these oil filters. But let me show you these pants. Okay, here's one of them. Let me open this in a separate tab, and let's get the other one. I got some pants, and every one of them... See, two of the pairs of pants I ordered were just identical in size to the ones I already ordered that I knew fit me, which is the regular Wrangler Authentic Men's Classic 5 Pocket, 100% cotton. All the jeans I ordered were 100% cotton. And then there's these, the most amazing ones, okay, that I ordered, that I think were the most amazing anyway. That I ordered a pair of... So the first pair I ordered were my waist 34 and my inseam 31, which fit me so perfectly, I thought, I'm going to order some more like that, of that same exact type of jeans. Okay, so I ordered two more pairs, one black and one vintage blue. So I've got light stonewash, the first pair I bought, and I've got vintage blue. And I have the black now, and they're all the same size, but there was a slight difference in the sizing, where I think it was the black ones, or was it the other ones? Let me think. What was the other ones I got? Must have been the black ones, I think, because I tried them on first, I think. Let me think now. Or did I try the other ones first? I can't remember, but one of the two pairs, either the black or the regular, the sort of vintage blue, was a little longer than the 31 I expected. Or a little longer than the standard 31 I had gotten before, anyway. But if I look at these jeans here, then I ordered another pair. The third pair of jeans I ordered and received today was these Rustler for $26 before tax. The best deal I've ever seen for 50 years. This would be better than a deal I would have got 50 years ago. I'm not kidding. In 1974, you wouldn't be able to buy jeans for $26. I don't think so. Maybe $30. And maybe I'm wrong, actually. I'm thinking, maybe it's not 1974 I'm thinking about. Maybe it's some other time. You might have been able to get them in 1974 for this price. Possible. But it wasn't like in 1984. When I moved here, and when my wife and I were shopping around here, you know, $50 was the kind of going price, and that was a good deal. I mean, $30 was possible then, too, I think. But really, they weren't good quality. They weren't made by... They wouldn't be jeans, in that case, made by Wrangler. And this Rustler is made by Wrangler. And these are absolutely... these were the ones that fit me absolutely perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. And I ordered... No, that's not what I ordered. Can't be what I ordered. Okay, wait, let's see what I ordered here. Find out what I ordered. I just want to view the order. Right? Let's see. Delivered. Let's see. Yeah. I'll click on... No, that's not what I want. I don't want to do that. Come on. I want to keep my main page open. There. That's it. There. But why doesn't it give me... I'm trying to track them. I clicked on tracking, didn't I? Track? No, I guess I didn't. I'm going to. Track. Yeah, that's it there. Okay. So tracking. I'm trying to find out what size I ordered, so if I click on that, it should give me the size. It doesn't. It doesn't give me the size. That's not the size I ordered. I want the order details. Yeah. So let's go back. Let's find the order. Here it is. Oh, here's the order. Okay, got it now. Got it, finally. Order details. There it is. I ordered 33 waist and a 30 inseam. Okay, we're over time, I just realized. But and these fit me perfectly. Normally a 30 is a little short possibly, but these were, and you know, it's about perfect. I mean, 31 is even better, I think, because it's a little extra in case you need that. But the 33 waist is about my exact waist right now, for pants anyway, for some pants, for the Wranglers. But the other ones I ordered 34. But I ordered another pair, which is the cowboy jeans, is the standard pair of jeans they use at rodeos. And I ordered those larger in the waist and longer because that's what the comments or the reviews were telling me. And I probably didn't need to order it that large and that long. But it still fits it very acceptably, and it's going to be a nice, comfortable fit because I got an extra size 35 in the waist, which was a couple of extra inches, and 32 length, which people said they were sizing short for some people. And if I'd gotten 31, or if it was available, I think it was available. Every size is available. I could order another pair of those, but they're $60 with tax. You know, they're not cheap for the cowboy jeans. But that still is cheap. Don't get me wrong, but it's not as cheap as $26. And these are amazing, like almost the same quality, it seems to me. I think all these jeans are made in Mexico. And I'm buying them because, you know, none of my pants fit me anymore. And I didn't only had about maybe three pairs of pants anyway, actually. But now I've got a few more, and I've got some more belts and things I can use to wear with my pants. So, and now I won't need to buy pants for a very long time, but the deals on Amazon are unbelievable. If I'd known that these rustlers were as good as they were for that price, I'm wondering now whether I would have just bought these $26 jeans and saved the money. I wouldn't have had to have spent so much money. But they don't come in as many colors. That's one thing. So, and I might not have been able to get my size. I don't think I could have gotten my size in many of the other colors either. Like if I look at my size, let me click on it. Yeah, there are no other choices. In that size 33x30, absolutely, that's the only style. So I could buy more like that, exactly that style, that color, everything exactly like that, just blue jean color, standard blue jeans, like dark. They're dark blue jeans. They're not the stonewashed like my first pair that I got. And the first pair, they're very light stonewashed, which is very beautiful, I think. But it's not for every day that you want to wear that. Then I got the classic blue, which is classic vintage blue, I should say. Which are like this. Like that. Right? And then if I show you the light stonewash, that's what these are, I think. Yeah, that's what I got the first time I ordered. And I ordered that same size, 34 waist by 31 length. So, and it fits me, you know, pretty well perfectly. A little bit of extra room in the waist, and that's great. So then the vintage blue that I just ordered and just received today, which are these. Yeah, see, they're only $40 before tax, about 46 or 47 after tax. Canadian dollars. It's just a great, great thing. And the thing is, every pair I've ordered since I started ordering pants from Amazon, two of which were work pants, one from Carhartt, a very heavy denim, and the other one was, what was the other one? I think it was another Wrangler. Let me find out what the other one was. Let's see what the other one was. Was it Carhartt as well? I'm trying to think. I don't know. I want to know. I want to know. Yeah, there it is. It's the Carpenter Jean. I ordered. No. I don't want to go there. Hang on. I always want to open a new tab. Yeah, I ordered some olive colored Carpenter jeans like this. They're Wranglers too. So they're like a 30 inseam, and they were pretty short. Like I thought they were quite short, almost like this guy here, except maybe a little longer than he's got. I mean, they're touching my shoes, whereas his are a little bit above the shoes. So mine are touching the shoes, whereas the 31 will be down on my shoe a little bit more, one more inch, obviously. But the drab olive is my work pants, and then I have the Carhartt, which are a little bit darker. They're moss color. They're a little bit darker, I think, the green color from my work pants, and they're heavier. So I've got two pairs of work pants as well. And this is, see, that's $38. Look at the price. Again, it's a great deal. These are not a very heavy denim. I think even the $26 ones, the Wranglers, I think they're even a little heavier than this denim. But it's good to have some lighter denim because sometimes you're working in the heat. You know, so, and I always like to wear underwear to protect the pants from getting soiled by my, you know, body oils and things like that. I like to wear long johns underneath them, if I can, right? If it's not too sweltering hot, I guess. And generally, it's not that hot. I don't work in the heat, generally. I try to avoid that. So anyway, it's some of the most exciting things that have ever happened in the history of pants, let's say, are happening, I believe, on Amazon. And that's just the Wrangler jeans. I mean, if you like Levi's, they have those as well. I don't think they have the same kinds of things exactly. One thing I noticed with the Levi's, the traditional 501 Levi's, they don't have a zipper. They've got buttons instead of a zipper, and I didn't realize that. So once I found that out, and I tried to go to their website, and they wouldn't allow me to go to their website unless I accepted the cookies. They didn't have an option to reject the cookies or to do anything like that, like cancel the dialogue box. So I decided, well, I can't buy Levi's because they're not even allowing me to have the freedom to visit their website without accepting the cookies. So that decided me I'm not going to buy Levi's. Couldn't buy it anymore. I chose, therefore, from that point on, I wouldn't buy any Levi's. I haven't bought any, and I won't. At least not until something drastically changes. But the Wranglers, I don't know. I can't be more over the moon about the prices and the quality that I've received. And they're made in Mexico, which is not a bad thing, I don't think. But the quality. The quality control might be a little bit less than phenomenal, you know, because I got one pair a little bit longer that nearly touched the ground when I'm wearing no shoes. But even that, if they don't touch the ground when I'm wearing no shoes, that's considered pretty well a perfect fit, right? But, you know, that would need, I'd need a belt to make sure they didn't drag on the ground, of course, but that's not a problem. I'll be wearing belts. But, I mean, it's amazing because, you know, they don't fit tight in the waist, most of the one. At least that's the only one that's that long. Although my Carhartt, they're a 36 by 32, the Carhartt. This is a 34 by 30 that I ordered, but the 36 by 32 Carhartt are way bigger in the waist. I wore them today when I was cutting the lawn, and they're way longer in the, or not way longer, a little longer in the inseam, but they're perfect for wearing my work boots, which I wore today. And my work boots, by the way, they're so light. They're just like feather light. It's crazy. The best boots. I'm not sure that they're great for my feet yet. I wasn't over the moon with how my feet felt afterwards today, but in terms of, you know, my arches or whatever, or the way that the bones feel, you know, in the feet after you walk around, and do things for a while. But I might just need a better insole, so I don't think there's anything to say bad about those boots. They're just the best boot I've ever had as a work boot. And they're super lightweight and easy to put on and off with a zipper. And what are they called again? I can't remember the name of the boot. Got to find out what the name of the boot was. Because they're so good. Nortive 8. Nortive 8. N-O-R-T-I-V 8. They're just a phenomenal... They're not even called a work boot. They're just a... Sort of... They're called a tactical boot. Trooper boot or something like that. But... You know, they're an outdoor... They're not waterproof. None of that stuff. They're a motorcycle boot or whatever... It does say a tactical work boot. It is a work boot as well. It's a work boot, but also they're offering it as a potential tactical boot as well. But we're not interested in going to war, speaking for myself. So that's it for today, and it's been a long study, 46 minutes. Wow. I just got really, really involved in... I'm just receiving so many things... I got more things to do with the belts too, but there's no time really to talk about that today, but more buckles and things, and it looks like I can make some belts, but I still need to get the leather. I've got only one piece of leather so far. I'm waiting for it. It's en route all the way from California, Santa Ana, California. The shipment is coming from there, and it's supposed to arrive sometime around October 4th at the earliest. We'll see. I guess it's going overland, that shipment. It's not being sent overnight, and there was no option to ship overnight or anything like that, or by, you know, air mail. So that's it. I love all my jeans. They're just because they fit so well, and I have the relaxed cowboy jeans. I'd love to show you those, but maybe that'll be another day. So that's it for today. It's that concludes our study. Also, it's September 29th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 21:24 hours North American Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And thank you for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Lib Dusty, and this is Cassie saying bye for now. That was the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. Chapter 3, paragraph 3.